want to be thankful for what they are. You know, they say, well, we're Christians, you know. There's one that was not our kind anyway, but down the street from where we live. And they took the name Baptist off the building, and they should have. So they finally did take the name off the building. But see, today it's something wonderful to be a Baptist. But first, before you're a Baptist, you've got to hear the gospel and be saved, brother. As you said last night and did such a good job with it. And then God, I don't guess Brother Harvey's here, but God did bypass surgery on me that day right there in your office. And I never got over it. You know, and the glorious thing about it is short time later, it wasn't a short time later. I went just a few days later and told my dad about Jesus, but it was a few years later when he came to trust the Lord down on his knees in our home. And I'm thankful for that. See, all of this, God's got a purpose in each life that's here today. And I'll tell you what, I've said it a couple of times already. I'm thankful that God is a sovereign God and has a purpose in our lives. I know in our country today, this is Thanksgiving. And I don't know about you, but I've got an awful lot to be thankful for. To have wonderful friends like you all are. I'll tell you one thing. When I first started coming down here years ago, when you first started having conferences and everything, it's just the warmth and the reception that you gave to even Yankees from up north, you know, made you want to come back the next year. And I was thankful for that, you know. And I'm not talking about New York Yankees. I'm talking about Detroit Yankees. But God saved sinners in the north as well as the south. And so I rejoice in that. I'm thankful today for that. I'm thankful today that God put it in my heart to just hear what the preacher said and follow it. And I guess I said this here before, but I can't get over how it thrills my heart and my soul to see true Baptists practice and teach and stand for what the Bible said. When I used to go to Brother Clark years ago, and I'd say, well, what does this mean? What does that mean? He'd take the Bible and explain it. And that's the way it ought to be. I'm not looking for new things. I don't need anything new. We've got what we need right here in the Word of God. Brother Lowerman said this, and I had it turned around till I got it straightened out yesterday. He said, this is the Bible. Read it, believe it, and live it. Amen. And that's what we ought to do. That's why we've got so much trouble in Baptist churches. Baptists won't hear the Word of God, they won't believe the Word of God, and they won't obey the Word of God. And that's where we've got trouble today, you see. But I'm thankful today. I'm thankful today that the day he preached 1 Corinthians 15:57. He used to tell me, God's going to call you to preach. And I'd write down notes, everything he preached. But that day he preached, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I had to surrender then. I couldn't help it. And we do every day. All right. I've said all this. I want to ask you now if you'd take your Bible with me. Turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 2. I want to read one verse of scripture there. And then we'll read several in Colossians chapter 1. Luke chapter 2. Now if you listen to the world today, they'll say this begins the biggest shopping time of the year. This is the time for it to start. And they'll say it's a big holiday. But you know, most of them don't know the Jesus that you and I know. They have no idea of anything true about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is and what he's done for us and what he means to us. So rather than read all the passage and everything, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible said, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the first chapter of the book of Matthew, I believe it is, the angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream and told him that he should not put away Mary privately as he was thinking to do. But he said and told her that that baby was conceived by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And he said about it, he said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus means Savior, they tell me. Turn with me again, if you would, into the book of Colossians in chapter 1, if you would. And the idea and the simple truth is we've heard all of these wonderful things that in doctrinal truths and responsibilities that we have, but it all came as a result and began to be built because we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. Without Him, without hearing the gospel, without the Spirit of God quickening us and convicting us, and drawing us to Christ and giving us, even in Ephesians 2, it tells us the gift of faith to receive Him as our personal Savior, we'd still be dead and lost in our sins. As we look at it then, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, I'll read a long reading, but we'll try to move along with it. He said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." One or two things real quick. I believe today, beloved, every one of us ought to pray for one another and for our churches. If we get to the point we're so selfish and prideful and we neglect to pray for one another as we ought to, then we're displeasing God, and our responsibility in this world is to please God. That's what we're here for today. We're here to worship Him. And while the world watches parades today and goes to football games and makes a big thing about Thanksgiving, we're in here where we need to be, thanking God for His grace and mercy and praising Him because we really have something to be thankful for. You see, so we ought to be praying for one another, you see, and that we ought to desire for one another, that we might be filled, if you will, of the knowledge of His wisdom. Friend, there's no wisdom in this world that compares to the wisdom that we can gain from our Lord today. That we would come to know Him as our personal Savior and to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might be used of Him. Isn't that your desire today? I pray that when we leave and when we, in the days to come, until if God tarries and gives us a few more days, that He might be pleased to use us and to teach us, that we might teach others to grow and to benefit and profit by knowing Jesus Christ, brother, and being a witness to Him in this world in which we live. Now then, he says this, and people today, listen, there are Baptists in this world don't want responsibility. But you take it where you work. You take it where you live. You can't pass those responsible things you have, those innocent little children that you raise to a manhood or womanhood. You can't pass that off on somebody else. You've got a responsibility, the Bible said, to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's our responsibility. I can't just give it all to my wife, or she can't give it all to me. It had to be our responsibility together. Now, I'm not saying, and I'm not proud of some of the things, and Brother Clark could tell you, that early on I was raised in a neighborhood where I thought men didn't go to church. I never saw them go to church when I was a kid growing up. They were working during the war. They worked 7 days a week and keep working, those older men that didn't go off to war. And the point I'm simply trying to make is I had to learn some things. And brother, I learned them in a Baptist church. Thank God for it. From a man of God that had guts enough to stand up there, even in and out of season. And a lot of times it'd be out of season, but he stood up and he preached anyway. All right, he said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I think today, and I don't know, I think today, and I don't think, I know, a lot of Baptists today, or those that took the name Baptist, have got this verse turned around. They have the idea, friend, listen to me, don't get the idea that you're here for God to please you. We're here to please God. That's what he's talking about over here, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. You see, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, there isn't a day goes by, if we look in our Bibles or read them or go to church, you know, or go to a conference, that we don't learn something in the Word of God. Brother Brooks, I think last night, said he's 62. Man, he's getting old. But I'm right behind him. I'm just a few months behind him. But I tell you what, I know he'll say it, and I will, that there isn't a day goes by, if you get your nose in the Bible, that you don't learn something. You know, it blesses your heart. So we can gain in the knowledge of God. He said, strengthened with all might. There's no might, no power, no strength like the strength that the Lord gives us. You don't believe that? Read Psalms 138 and verse 3. It was still in there when I was sitting down here this morning. And our help and our strength comes from the Lord. So then, he said, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks. Isn't that what we're here for today? Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In whom, his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, that's so plain and simple that even this lost world stumbles on that today. Because they think you have to work your way into heaven or be baptized in order to be saved. But you see, he goes on now and he talks about Jesus, and that's who I want to preach about a little bit. He said, who is the image of the invisible God? We haven't seen God, but we've seen Jesus by faith. We see God by faith. But you see, we'll see him. Somebody read last night in their text, I believe, in among the verses they quoted, perhaps, that we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, you see, down here in this earth, was the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He said, now here again, for by him were all things created. Now, who created? We read the verse in the beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the Bible said over here, for by him were all things created. You see, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. In other words, by him everything is held together. And when I read that verse, beloved, it thrills my soul. When I read back over there in the Old Testament, when the Bible said, was it in Job maybe? Or yeah, I think it was in Job where he said, when he, in the act of creation, he hung the earth in the north, or the north over the empty place. You know, and every time, one time here, I saw a space shot go up at 2:30 in the morning down in Florida. And I looked at that and I said, man, look at that. But more than that, I saw Almighty God in all of this, because at any moment the Lord Jesus Christ could come back for us. But as we look at this and we see this, man is trying to defy the law of gravity and thrust something up into space. But God's already got everything else under control, and everything's being held together, and he hung the earth. And if you drop something and it falls, that's the law of gravity. But why doesn't the earth fall? Because God put it right where he wants it. And it stays there. You see. Now I like this. And he is the head of the body, the church. Somebody say, who's the head of your church? Well, sure isn't the Pope. He's not infallible, but my Savior is. He is. who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Man's trying to take the preeminence today in many places. Many Baptists don't even, well, at least there's a church by us, doesn't even have service on Wednesday night anymore. Shut down on Wednesday night. Now listen, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And again, he mentioned something here. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, I believe it is, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And the word remission means forgiveness. Without Jesus' blood, beloved, we wouldn't be saved today. Along with that gospel, we wouldn't have eternal life today. He reconciled all things unto himself, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. We were all sinners, lost on the road to hell and undone. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I want to speak on Jesus for a few minutes this morning before dinner time. I'm here to tell you today, it's my heart and life, I believe Jesus Christ is the center. I believe Jesus is the center of history. Everything, even this old lost world that you and I live in today, everything that we see, everything that we experience, when we write a date on a check and we write a check, we're recognizing the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, are we not? The lost world recognizes that. If they publish a book filled with heresy today, everything they do today, if they print a book and you look in the very beginning of the book inside the cover, they'll tell you if this was the first printing, when it was printed, and they acknowledge that it would have been 1997 A.D. That's acknowledging that Jesus Christ and the history of him. That there was one that we Baptists, for example, that Christianity believes was born of a virgin, lived in this world 33 and a half years, and then one day went back into glory after he had made a sacrifice of himself for our sins and shedding his precious blood. Amen. Then the other side of the picture is in the old world, they call it before Christ or B.C. You see, man measures his time. Man measures everything by time. We talk about seconds and minutes and hours and weeks and days and weeks and months and years. Everything measured by time. Talking to one of the men the other night. Said he used to play football. And even a football game is measured by time. Four quarters, a half, and everything else. And the coach would holler. I played hockey. They did that there too. But you see, everything's measured by time. You see, man writes books on history. And one of the biggest tragedies today in our society, in our world, in our country, in our government, is today our young people are being taught in some public schools, at least where we're from, that there are some things in history that are more important than others, and they've left out the old principles of freedom and a heritage in being an American today. We've neglected that. And along with that, I'm here to tell you today there are some things that we've left out as Baptists. When I say we, and I hate to use that we, and I'll tell you why, because those people that leave them out aren't Baptists in the first place. They've turned their backs on the things that Jesus died for, the works that he did, for example. You see, but the center of history, I believe, recorded by God and recorded by the historians, record our history around the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to share just a few with you this morning and then talk with you. And most of what I'm going to say has already been covered, but you know, sometimes it's good to have a review before you take a test. We used to do that in school too. But you talk about creation. You talk about creation today. I believe the heavens and the earth were created by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ. We just read that verse. Then we hear about the fall, that man was given one commandment and he disobeyed God, and in the fall all men fell in him because all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, Romans 5:12, by one man sin came into the world and death by sin passed upon all men, for that man has sinned. So we fell in sin. Shortly thereafter, or long in time, came the flood, because again, that word S-I-N, sin. Man was deeply in sin, you see. God sent a universal flood upon the earth. And then left just, was it eight, wasn't it? If I remember. And they survived the flood and began the human race all over again. And then after that came along the freeing of the children of Israel. And I have to hurry from the Egyptian bondage. And the giving of the law by Moses. And then the destruction of the temple. And we hurry history up a little bit. The destruction of the temple at Jerusalem. And then the Babylonian exile of the defeated people. And the return of the Jews to their homeland. And then the text in time, we could talk about David. We could talk about Daniel. We could mention the old minor prophets and everything else. But then we hurry to where we read in Luke chapter 2, a virgin conceived a child. The seed was implanted by the Holy Spirit. And that child that was born was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus grew to manhood. He lived in this world some 33 and a half years, beloved. He was tempted in all points like as you and I are, and yet he was without sin. He was touched, the Bible said, with the feeling of our infirmities. He knew what it was like when you hurt. He knew what it was like when you were in pain. He knows what it's like when you, a guy, and I should say, go through the depths of sorrow or despair, if you will. But then he says to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There's no Savior like our Savior. He knew how you felt. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of a woman, made under the law to keep the law for us, because we couldn't keep it. We failed to keep it. We've sinned and broken God's law. But here was a lamb without spot, without stain, and without blemish who kept the law for us because we could not keep it. I'm saying today the invisible God, beloved, was seen on this earth in flesh and blood. Jesus Christ is a God-man. I look with me. Take your Bible back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19 with me, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice what he said. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. You see, God, and we've heard so amply said in this conference that God had chosen us unto salvation from before the foundation of the world. Brother Jerry just said that he wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. It was because God purposed to redeem us unto him before the foundation of the world. And the only sacrifice, the only one who could make an atonement for our sins, was his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you feel today we've got something to be thankful for? I sat there this morning. I had just gotten up and I looked at my Bible and I got to thinking, you know, how much we take this for granted. I must confess to you as many times that I do. I don't really stop and thank God for what he's done. You know, this morning I was nervous and I said, Lord, help me to preach. You know, we all do that, I guess. But you know what? Did we thank him for Jesus? Oh, how precious he is. You know, the Bible said, Peter writes, he said unto you to believe. He is precious. And what saved you and I from our sins, not only, Brother Brooks, was the gospel, but we have been redeemed not with corruptible things like silver and gold received by vain conversation or by tradition from our fathers. He said, but with the
precious blood of Christ as of a lamb slain. Beloved, today, when America pauses in thanksgiving, might we pause and thank God for what He's done for us. The very reason that we got down here today for this service, the very reason that my wife and I were able to get here from there and you other folks is because of the grace of God. I'll tell you what, when we left the other day, I didn't think we'd get out of Detroit. There was a wreck and the freeways were blocked all over town. They had it on the radio and I'm trying to find a way to get out of town to get down here. And I-75 up there was blocked by the bridge that goes over into Canada with a head-on collision or some kind of collision, not a head-on, but a collision between two semi-trucks. And the one was a fuel truck and was pouring thousands of gallons of fuel right out there in the road. And it was closed right down. So I thought I'd get across 696, the other side of town, and go south. And I remember talking with Brother Jones the other day, and he said, take 23. I said, I'm going 23. So my wife and I started out. And I said, watch for this. You'll help me. She's my help. One time we got married, she got us turned around in Canada. We hadn't been too far in our honeymoon. But she's a good wife. But what I'm saying today is we got blocked there. We got down and got down near Toledo. Then on the way down, and all of a sudden there was a wreck there. We had to get off. And I was driving downtown Toledo, right in all the big buildings. And I asked the fella, I said, how do I get out of here? Where is I-75? He gave us 2 minutes of directions. We got off on turn right and then turn left and went down the road about a half a mile. And we were right there on I-75 south. And I knew then we were going to get here. But I tell you what, here's the best directions people can have. Baptists can have today is the Word of God. Jesus was born of a virgin. He died for our sins. And a lot of folks won't even believe that anymore. That's the tragedy of our day. And so we need to believe these things. So God was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me again in your Bible, if you would. Turn with me to Colossians again in chapter 1 and verse 15 and review that verse with me, if you will. And notice over here what he said. He said, who is the image of the invisible God? God was in Christ, if you will. He was the God-man, if you will. The virgin-born Son of God, as we've said so many times. In Hebrews 1:3, the Bible tells us He bears the seal of the brightness of His glory. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 9, he that hath seen Me, He said, hath seen the Father. So if we see Jesus, we see God. Jesus was the revelation of God. Turn with me again to John chapter 10 and verse number 30, if you would, please. In John chapter 10 and verse number 30, the Bible tells us over here, my friend. Oh, here it says in that glorious passage of Scripture when He said, my sheep hear My voice and I know them and they follow Me. That tells me the Baptists follow the shepherd, don't they? If they're right with God, they will. If we're sheep, we will. Then He tells us over there that we have eternal life. That means forever. And so we have security here in the Lord Jesus Christ when He died for us to redeem us from our sins. That we're not going to lose that salvation that He gave to us. But in John 10 and verse 30, He said, I and My Father are one. Are one. So Jesus, beloved, was the revelation of God, if you will. He tells us over there as He went along, He said, all that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. There's security. There's a purpose of God from before the foundation of the world that He was going to redeem a chosen people unto Himself, and those people that He chose would never lose what God had done for them through the person of Jesus Christ. Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Don't we have something to be thankful for today? Yeah. Better still, don't we have someone to be thankful for? We thank God for our wives. We thank God for our children.
We also ought to thank God for our Savior.
My friend, today, Jesus is not going to fail to save a one that was chosen unto salvation. I've heard preachers preach for years that not one drop of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed in vain. And you know what? I believe that. He'll get everyone he died for. He's not going to fail to redeem us from our sins, you see. He's the center of history. So Paul writes to Timothy early on in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 1. He says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So my friend today, as the Lord of time, notice in verse 17 of Colossians 1, He holds all moments together. He holds all things together. He said, and He is before all things, as we've said, and before and by Him all things consist. Jesus Christ is the I Am of the Old Testament, isn't He? He told them in those Pharisees in John 8, He said, before Abraham was, I am. But then, my friend, He's also the Thou Art of the New Testament. I sometimes think some of us, and perhaps me more than anybody else, are like Peter sometimes. We put our foot in our mouth, you know. And Peter was there one day, and Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Let me just show you something. Let's turn back over there to Matthew 16, would you? Matthew 16. And this is one of the thou arts that He uses to describe this to us. He asked the question, and they said, some say that as you're turning, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And He saith unto them, now here's where it comes probing and penetrating, right down to each of us, beloved. Whom say ye that I am? Who do you say that He is today? Who is Jesus to you today? Oh, Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus looked at him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, or Simon, son of Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, little old stone. And then upon this stone, or this rock, Petra in the Greek, a large rock, meaning himself, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I remember years ago, old Brother Hafford Overby said that word build is in the Greek, is a linear verb, and it means that he'll keep building his church. You know what? He's still building it today. He's still building his churches today. And the gates of hell haven't prevailed against it yet. And that's why we're here today, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my friend, today, Jesus is the one that pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell bodily. Jesus, again, is the discovery of God. And mystery of mysteries today in the world, when they can't conceive it in just a few weeks, they'll worship an infant. Up our way, they'll even put trees all over the countryside with lights on it and everything else, and then they'll celebrate around those trees with a bottle of booze. But the believer thanks God for the birth of Christ every day. The believer, every time we get together in the house of God, we preach the gospel to invite sinners to come to Christ as their personal Savior. And we exhort them to come and to trust Him that they might be saved. And so you see today, my friend, in this world, we don't need what the world offers. We have what we need in Jesus Christ. Amen. So when the proper time had come, He redeemed those who were under the law from the curse of the law. Look at Ephesians 2 with me, and let me hurry because time is getting away, and I want to say a couple of things before we close. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, I want to share something with you. I want to say this to you, if I may. No matter what the world wants to say today, and we've alluded to it already, He's the only Savior from sin. There's no other one that can save us from our sins. And the Bible takes us and shows us what we are and what we were, and causes us to see what our needs are. And the Spirit of God does that when the man of God uses the Word of God. You know, he says over here, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That is the world at large today. That's why preachers preach against the world. The Bible said, any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But we get so enamored by the world and so caught up with the world that we say we don't have time for church Mondays or Sundays and Wednesdays. We can only go Sunday morning, or we can only go two times on Sunday. We can't come back on Wednesday night. You know why? They're sold out to the world, and they're not hearing what God said in His Word, brother. They won't listen to Him. So, my friend, today, as we look at this thing and understand it, when it came down to each of us being saved today, let us remember, before we close today, let us remember that we were caught under a power that we could not release ourselves from. The world's telling you today in the religion next door down here, all you had to do was be baptized as an infant and your sins would be washed away for all of your life. But we've already seen today the only thing that will save you, the only thing that will wash away your sin, is not water, it's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll tell you today in places of religion that you have to be the Jehovah's Witnesses. They tell you you have to be part of the 144,000. But I understand that to be 12 tribes and 12,000 each tribe representing Israel. Jesus said you must be born again. So Jesus was recognized also, my friend, as the one who would appear in history to destroy the works of the devil. If we just said that Jesus came to save us, we would be missing some things, wouldn't we? He built a church when He was here. He organized His church. He gave it authority. And I still believe in my heart today that Baptists are the only kinds of people that have church authority to carry out the Great Commission. I know that. And I believe that with all of my heart. But you see, as a boy growing up, the friends that I had grown up with were Catholic. And I went to a Catholic church with them, and I wondered about it, because they'd run through there and they'd throw a quarter in the basket and out the door they'd go, and we'd go off and play somewhere. But God, in His providence and in His mercy, saw fit for me to meet a young girl one day in my life. And she said, if you want to see me, you come to a Baptist church. Amen. With me. And I heard a difference. And oh, what a difference. Man, what a change it'll make in your life. And it's the truth. Never once did I find any Baptists that believe like we do, practice anything that was not contained in the pages of this book. You might say, you said that already. I know I did. I want to say it again because it means that much to me. You see, I wasn't rocked in a Baptist cradle. I didn't know what it was like to be raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I didn't understand what it means to be saved and all of those things. But oh, I believe there was a man, a boy born and raised down here in Western Kentucky, saved at 12 years of age, called to preach of God and in the ministry, and then a church called him in Warren, Michigan, and brought him up there. And I believe in my heart one day to lead me to Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. We crossed our paths together, and God had a purpose. And that's the sovereign God that we believe in tonight or today, beloved, and preach and teach. God's been good to us. See, now we come down, and in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to hurry. He was filled with compassion, was He not? He wept over Jerusalem, didn't He? He wept at the graveside of Lazarus, and the Bible said just two words in both instances. Jesus wept. And He, Peter said, is our example that we should follow Him and walk in His steps. And if He had compassion, should we not have compassion? He cared.
And in your life and mine, somebody cared for us. Not just our parents. Somebody cared enough to tell you about Jesus. Somebody cared enough to tell you about your sins. Somebody cared enough to tell you about your responsibility.
I'm talking about the history of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one who comforted with him. We need to hurry. But one who comforted with him betrayed him. Don't you know that he knew he was going to do it? He was God. He knew all things. He knew the end from the beginning. And he told them there, he said, that which thou doest quickly. And for 30 pieces of silver, he sold out on the Lord Jesus Christ. I submit to you today, anybody that practices spiritual fornication is selling out on Jesus Christ. They sold out on him. And here they came and apprehended Jesus and took him to a false trial. He stood before Pilate, for example. And he was nailed then to a cross. And they had beaten him. And they had lashed him and drew as they drew that lash back from his back. They had ripped the flesh from his back. Isaiah prophesied of old and said they would rip the hairs from his face. They spit upon him. They took a crown of thorns and not placed it on his brow, but they must have jammed it on his brow because the thorns cut his face and the blood came streaming down. Isaiah said in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, there was no beauty that we would desire him. They nailed him to a cross because of you and me. He shed his precious blood because of you and me. And he died that you and I might live. He said, I am come that you might have life. And have it more abundantly. And even in that hour, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The agony that he suffered, the agony that he went through, was so severe that even as he hung suspended between heaven and earth, he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? God had turned his back on him. Why? Because our sins were on him. He was bearing them to the tree of the cross. He reconciled us unto God. He restored us unto God. He's our Redeemer, is he not? He did this that you and I could be saved. Now would to God that we'd get a zeal in our hearts, a fervor in our souls today to share this gospel with a lost and a dying world. Faith still comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I've forgotten who said it last night, but it still pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I remember Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus took his body and they didn't kill him. Although this was ordained of old and it was purposed. In Acts, the 2nd chapter, in the 23rd verse, it said, in him by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. And yes, he died. He really died. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came and took him down from the cross, laid him to rest in that borrowed tomb. They sealed the tomb because some of the radicals of the day had heard that he said, if you destroy this temple, he said, I'll raise it up again in 3 days. They didn't fully understand it. But they didn't want that rabble-rouser stirring up the people, and they made sure that the grave was secure. But after 3 days and three nights, the stone was rolled away and the grave clothes were tossed down. And he lived. And he lives today. Christ Jesus lives today. He's not dead anymore. He lives. And because he lives, we're going to live. that he's coming back for us. He went and tabernacled and dwelt among them for 40 days, and then he ascended back up in the glory. And two men stood by in white apparel looking on, and they said unto them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up?" He said, this same Jesus whom thou saw will come again and receive you unto himself.
The same Jesus is coming back one day.
Prophetically, historically in the Bible, because the Bible...